So on that note, tonight's shiur, I'm getting back into Bezrat Hashem, an amazing Chorav Zman of Talmud Torah together. We're going to discuss a fascinating halachic discussion, which is the role of, or really not the role, but can women carry handguns, you know, guns and women? This question comes up more often than not. This question, I heard it recently discussed in regards to, can you go, you know, to a shooting range on a date? What about axe throwing or riflery or things like that? How does that apply? Okay.
Why not?
We'll get to that, okay? Or the question that's more commonly discussed, right? There's a, I brought here, we're going to see a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein and Gross Moshe and a tshuva from Rav Avadia Yosef in Yechavadat. Rav Avadia's tshuva, as you see here in the Sheila at the top, is regarding schools that require, right, schools in Eretz Yisrael where they need to have security. So they wanted to know if one of the things they should do is that if they give the teachers and the you know assistant teachers guns and they train the teachers into how to properly use guns, it'll make the school more safe, right? Think if you have one security guard at the entrance of the building, we always say growing up, like, you know, the police guard outside, the police officer outside of the shul, if anything really happens, he's just the first guy dead, practically speaking, right? The security officer outside of the shul or the school, realistically speaking, is not going to hold off if there's a real terrorist attack. Chas v'shalom. Just being honest and practical right now, if we think about it for a second. But if you have every teacher, every other teacher, whatever, you have a few teachers in the school who are also armed, so if Chas v'Shalom, a terrorist breaks into the school, once they're...
Everybody's security guard.
Not everyone's security guard, but you have more people who are armed inside of the school versus the one person who was able to defend us is, you know, sitting outside the building, you know, shot dead in his booth, quote unquote. Okay, so Ravadi's dealing with the question of can we train and give teachers guns in order to protect, you know, for self-defense. Obviously, there's kind of a catch-22. You can't use a gun if you're not trained, right? That's just kind of useless. If you don't, like, here's a gun, use it if you need it, but I don't know how to use it. Oh, but right, clearly, if you assume that using a gun, obviously using a gun is mutar and pikuach nefesh, right? If there's serious risk, clearly they can do it. If you can mechal Shabbos, do you want more makomos?
I'm fine here.
Okay, if you could be Michal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, clearly in a case where there's a real need, there's a tzorech, there's a sakana, there's danger, you could clearly do it. So clearly, though, you need training, right? It's like saying, you know, you need to know what to do. So obviously, there's kind of a catch-22. If it's mutter, then also the training is going to be mutter because, you know, it's not very helpful to have a teacher who's armed who doesn't actually know how to use their self-defense mechanisms, right? Okay. Or the question on the flip side, right? I didn't put it at the top, but the question that Rav Moshe Feinstein is dealing with, he was actually asked this by his grandson, Rav Shabtai Rappaport, who's a fascinating, fascinating individual. He's the son-in-law of Rav Moshe Tendler, who was just nifter. He's the head of the Kol Olam Bar Ilan, and I think he has a few different, you know, advanced degrees in math and sciences. Huge, huge Talmud Chacham. His father-in-law, Rav Tendler, who was just nifter also. But Rav Shabtai Rappaport also was the editor for the eighth and ninth volumes of the Igros Moshe, but he's asking his grandfather, it's a tshuva, the tshuva in Chelik Dalet Siman Ayin Hei, is I think three or four questions that he asked his grandfather, and this is I think the third one of it, where he's asking, right, there was a while where he was the Rosh Yeshiva in a small yeshiva in Gush Etzion, and he says, right, what about a case where there are people living in the Gush, and the yeshuvim around, where there's a lot of Arabs that live nearby, and there's a lot of people who they hate the Jews, and there's unfortunately, lo aleinu, there's people amongst that seabor who would be more than happy to kill Jews. And so people feel, especially this was, you know, this shuvah was in Chelik Dalet, I don't remember exactly the date, but it's 40 to 50 years ago that it was written. Security situation was very different then than it is now, right? So he's basically saying there's people who want to kill and hate the Jews, yimach shemam. And as a result, the Jews, it's very important that they have to know how to protect themselves, that they carry guns. Right, so he asked the question: Im yesh la'atir gam le'nashim shemitzad isur halav dekli gevra l'isha asur gam la'si neshek. Okay, maybe we should say that the woman should also carry guns, even though we generally assume, which we'll get to in a minute, like this part of the hakdam of what the questions we're dealing with is that there's an isur, right, of lo yilbash, of wearing, you know, men wearing women's clothing, cross dressing, etc. So generally, we assume guns are considered kli gevra, though that is the right, that is the dress of a man. Okay.
Really?
Okay, one second. Yeah, hold on to it for a minute. And as just like Gemma, we'll address the assumptions that you're making. It's going to come up in part of the discussion for sure. And so, practically speaking, so Also, part of it is just interesting to note, a lot of shilas that come up in Sigyos regarding Hilchosnias and Klei Gever, things like this, the definition is subjective, right? The definition is going to change based on, right, as the Rambam writes, Hakol Lefi HaMakom V'Hazman. Right? Obviously, the definition of, right, is wearing a kilt in Scotland going to be Begadisha? Well, that's very different than a man wearing a skirt in Eretz Yisrael.
My is that a gun is a piece of clothing.
Right, okay. Oh, I thought you were questioning how times have shifted, today...
That's a little bit more like...
So we'll get to that we're going to discuss, okay. But I was just pointing out that it is true that there is going to be discussions of the Hagdara, the definition of what's considered men's clothing, woman's clothing, right? Can you say that a wedding ring for a man is really a problem? Is a problem because it's a ring? Or are you going to say, no, they sell it as men's wedding ring, are distinctive, mm-hmm. are inherently different than women's wedding rings. Or they sell women's pants in the store. Are pants going to be Begadisha? When, practically speaking, you walk into, I don't know, whatever store, and there's women's pants, there's men's pants. And they are cut differently, there are different styles. I don't know, I'm not into the fashion industry too much. But practically speaking, there is going to be a difference in what's a men's shirt, woman's shirt, etc. Okay? So that's the question he's asking of Moshe. He's saying, or do we have to say, right, can they buy small handguns to protect themselves? Or would we have to say, no, anytime the woman wants to leave the yeshuv, she has to find someone to drive her who has a gun, right? She can't leave on her own because of sakana, but she can't carry a gun because of this iser. So maybe we should find a middle ground, right? There'll be a group of guys, right? You have a WhatsApp group, right? They didn't have WhatsApp back then, right? People who have guns, and you write in the group, I need to go to the supermarket. Is anyone who could come with me, right? It's not so crazy, right? There's people in the old city there's an organization, I forget what it's called, in the old city of Yerushalayim, that if you want to go to a different place in the old city and you feel dangerous, you call them, and they ask you, where are you? And they send someone to you who's armed, and they're going to be your milavan. They're going to walk with you to the place you need to go so that you feel comfortable. That exists in the old city of Yerushalayim, I think also in Hebron and some other places. So we could set up a system like that. If you're going to say that it's really problematic for a woman to carry a handgun because it's going to be an Isra Dioraita, L'chor Lo Yelbash Pasuk, so then maybe we could set up a system like that, but that's obviously not the most convenient, you know, way to live your life. Every time I want to go to the supermarket or to visit my brother or my cousin or whomever or my friends in the next town over, your kids want to go to school, you have to find someone to go with them. It makes life a little bit, you know, of a hassle. So those are the questions that we're really dealing with is, right, Rav Avadi was dealing with the question of can teachers train and learn to use handguns to carry them in schools? Or Rav Moshe Shaila specifically, women carrying handguns at home and, you know, for their daily life. So that'll make, you know, I would call it convenience, but it's hard to say safety is convenience. It's like a little bit of a disincentive.
Well, I would say it's safety is a necessity.
Correct, but it's not a necessity if you stay at home and, you know, right? It was, if you, inside your yeshuv, you're safe. If you want to leave your yeshuv, you need to carry weapons. Okay? Right. So that's why I'm saying it's a convenience because you could find someone to go with you. You know, you call up the, you know, hey, Shimon, are you available to go with me? I need to go to my neighbor. I need to go, whatever. So it's awkward and weird to say safety is a convenience versus a necessity because, like, we grow up and we think, like, no, safety is, right? Everyone should feel the luxury and the norms of feeling safe at all times. But, okay, so now let's go back. Those are the questions we're dealing with. And that's going to have our practical ramifications of, you know, can you take your fiancé to a shooting range? Can you go with your wife to a shooting range or axe throwing or, you know, hunting, whatever, things like that. Hunting's a different discussion. Let's not discuss hunting now. I'm entering Shuva with no Rabbi Yehuda about whether or not, you know, is it mutar halachically to go hunting or not? We're not going to discuss it in this series as much as it's a great Shuva because of this series. We're specifically groundbreaking Shuva of the last century. So the Note of Yehuda is the 100 years before that, like 1800s. I believe actually on that shuva, Rabbi Ziering, I think, has a shiur on it online, if you want. But it's a classic shuva about the Note of Yehuda about hunting. Beautiful blend of hashkafa, halacha, machshava. And like maybe it's mutter, maker adin, but like we don't like it's not the right thing that we should be doing type of thing. Interesting discussion. Okay. Welcome. Here's some makoros. Tonight we're discussing women and handguns. Your favorite topic. Here, this is a single-sided copy. Here, take all four. Take all four. The whole lot.
It's four.
Yeah. Here, come sit at the table. Sit at the table. Come around.
Fine.
Join us.
This is interesting because I just saw a recent, I was on a group chat and they were having like this we're having a machlokas as to whether or not women should be like involved in like self-defense and that sort of thing.
So we're going to discuss whether or not they could carry handguns or use guns in general. So we just kind of presented some of the questions, and now let's kind of get into some of the segi, okay? The Torah tells us we're going to open off what is often going to be the first makor in this. Always want to start with what's the Torah tell us? What's the psukim? Torah tells us explicitly, Lo yeh kli gever al isha, v'lo yilbash gever simat isha, ki toivat Hashem elokecha, kol aseh ele. Right? Okay? A woman can't wear clay gever, right? Articles that are related to men, and men can't wear simat isha. You can't wear women's dresses, right? If you walk into the Beis Medrash tomorrow wearing a dress or a skirt, that's an Isser D'oraita. Meforas Pasuk. You can't do that. Okay. Interesting to note, and we'll see this diuk made later on. It says, right, Velo yilbash gever simlat isha. What's a simla? A dress. But when it refers to the Isser on woman, what does it say? You would think it should say, right, beged ish. What does it say? Lo yeh kli gever. What's a kli? A vessel. So that's going to be part of our discussion. Well, a kli is going to, as in clothing counts as a kli, that's going to be a whole discussion, right? So again, Shabbos, you know, if your shirt comes back from the dry cleaners and it's sewed up, and you have to open it to, you have to open the stitching to be able to wear the shirt or the shoes, right? You're osa kli. It's a shirt. It's not a kli, right? A kli is this cup. Maybe not this cup, plastic cup. That's an interesting discussion too with Moshe about plastic cups. Are they a kli or not? Nafka Mina, can you make kiddush with a plastic cup? Interesting discussion. Okay? This bottle is a kli, right? Is your sock a kli? It's under the broader definition of kli, but like my first thoughts are, no, my sock's not a kli. Like a kli is a, you know, a pod, a plate, things like that.
Maybe
okay?
An unworn sock would be a kli. Like a sock that's around people's feet probably wouldn't be used as a kli, but a sock...
I can argue the other way around. When it's brand new, it's currently just a piece of fabric. My wearing it on my foot is what creates the kli. As in, it was nothing. It was just a piece of fabric until I gave it, by putting it on my foot.
And now it's a very...
Now I made it, I gave it a shimush. I gave it a usage. Okay, same thing. This cup is nothing. This cup is dirty. So lechora, it was something, right? This cup was just a random piece of plastic in the form of a you know, some sort of, I don't know what we'd call it, but...
A truncated cone.
Okay, great. But the minute I then put water in it and drink from it, it's now become a cup. Okay, that's part of the whole discussion of, you know, that'll be a different discussion, maybe we'll get to another point, of opening bottles or cans on Shabbos. Right now it's useless. The minute I open it, I've now created a kli, because now I can, A, get out the tuna fish that was inside, and I can also reuse it. When a closed can of tuna fish or corn is useless to me. The minute I open it, I can now use this empty can as a scooper or as a cup, something like that. Okay, not getting into discussion. This is just an introductory pasuk. There is going to be an Isser D'oraita for a man to wear woman's clothing, or for a woman to wear what we're calling klei gever. Okay, the Mefarshim Targum Unkelus, Yonathan ben Uziel Targum Unkelus, and most other Mefarshim all discuss this. Okay, that specifically klei gever is not the Makor Rashi. Klei gever is klei zayin. What's klei zayin in Chazal? Klei zayin classically refers to, as, you know, armament, swords, right? Thing, you know, articles of warfare, right? What you generally would use when you go out to battle. Kli Zion. So they make that deal. The Pasuk says Kli, not just to include clothing, but it's broadening it, saying women also can't wear swords, mail, you know, chain mail, helmets, right? Things like that, that, you know, that would be included in Kli Gever. Okay? We could argue maybe how does that go? You know, if a man's walking around with a purse, is that going to be called lo yilbash? It's not a simlas isha, but it's definitely an article of clothing for a woman. Okay? That's going to be also a discussion maybe on earrings or things like necklaces, things like that. That'll go back to our discussion before of, well, it's one thing if it's like a wedding ring that's distinctively like, we all know there's like men type of necklaces and there's feminine necklaces. What?
Bullet necklaces.
There's farty men necklaces.
I don't know. I'm thinking like, you know, rappers, he's got his whole bling, whatever, right?
Chain.
But if you're wearing this like fancy pearl necklace that's like clearly made for the Queen of England, that's like, it's a clearly feminine necklace. Pasha says that would fall into this category. Okay, let's try and move on and try and go a little faster. We're short on time, we have a nice introduction. So Chizkuni writes here, Chizkuni, in his Perush on this pasuk, tells Lo Yekli Gever Al Isha, why? Lifnei Shehu Gnai Upritzos, right? It's shameful for the man, and also it's going to lead to, you know, licentiousness. It's going to lead to inappropriate behavior.
For a woman to...
It goes both ways.
Oh, okay.
In general, Lo Yulbash, right? The reason why a woman shouldn't wear men's armor or clothing, a man shouldn't wear what? It's a disgrace, it's a gnai, it's something negative. And it's going to lead to pritzos, it's not appropriate.
Is it to keep mannerisms from...
So one, it might be mannerisms. Another, we'll see a little bit later, is one of the chashashes that we're worried about is that, why are you going to dress up as a woman? Why is she going to dress up as a man? You're trying to like sneak into the other team's locker room, right? You want to hear their play. So you're going to put on a dress, you're going to put on a wig, you're going to walk into the woman's locker room, you know, and see something inappropriate, right? So, right, obviously, you know, no one looks at things that are inappropriate, but they didn't have, you know, the entire internet accessible to them, or whatever they wanted, one click on Google away. So what they do, you put on a dress, put on a wig, you know, put on some stockings and a high-heeled shoes, and, you know, you walk into the woman's bathhouse, and you sit there for 15 minutes, and you leave, and no one notices, right? It's crazy. Okay, yeah, don't get any ideas. This is, like, weird. But that's one of the reasons why he says it's pretzels. It's going to lead to licentiousness. It's going to lead to inappropriate behavior. Intermingling of the sexes, right, that is going to happen naturally.
This was a concern among women also?
But it went both ways. There's good-looking men. Women are attracted to men. And vice versa. Okay, right? We often grew up in this world where men have this incredible, horrible yetzer hara, and the women don't have any mashiach. No, women are also naturally attracted to men as well.
Oh, no.
Okay, what?
Stop. It's a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay. Is that like a gun reference?
No. Mrs. Doubtfire. No. It's like a famous rhyme.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. Okay. So now we're going to keep going into the, right? And this is why he brings many other Mepharshim quotes as well. Ya'el, the story in Tanakh, right? With Sisera, Ya'el, right? She killed the general, comes to her tent, right, in the times of Dvorah, when she was the head Nevi'ah and Shofetet of Am Yisrael. So she comes, she brings him into his tent, into her tent, she offers him some warm milk, whatever else happened, right? And then all of a sudden, right, he falls asleep after a nice cup of warm milk, and he feels totally safe and comfortable, and this wonderful, you know, incredible Achnasas Orchim, right? She opens her home to the opposing general. And what does she do when he falls asleep? Anyone familiar with the story?
She
takes a tent peg, boom, sledgehammer, tent peg through the skull, game over. What's the Chizkuni and others point out? Why'd she use a tent peg? I always thought growing up she used a tent peg. Why? Because it was convenient, right? She's in her house. What does she do? She grabs the tent peg out of the ground, boom, crushes the skull. No, she used a tent peg. Why? Right? Why? Because she couldn't use a sword, because if she took a sword, that would have been Kli Geber. There's an Israel right there to kill the opposing general with a sword. So she could have walked over to the kitchen, grabbed one of the, you know, one of her knives, but then, you know, Kasha Shailas, do I need a Kasha the knife, not Kasha the knife, right? Makom Ashchitas, Roteach, Holtzagin, Chulin over there. Okay? But perhaps what'd she do? She took her tent peg, boom, drove it through his skull, game over, he's gone, and no halachic Shailas. So you might have argued, wait, it was probably just a matter of practicality. But if you look a few parakim later, when Devorah says Shiras Devorah, she specifically praises Yael that she used the tent peg. So some of the Mepharshim are medayik, yeah, we could have just argued it was purely an issue of practicality. But because Devorah, in her praising of Yael's actions, mentions specifically that she used the tent peg, that a lot of the Rishonim and the Mepharshim say that must have been the reason why she was praised specifically for the using of the tent peg was because she was not good for Kli Geber.
What about Yehudas and Hophanis during...
During Hanukkah? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get too much into this. And these are all, you know, we could argue that, right? Their pshat is, we could say that it really was as such. Right? That was with a hammer, no?
That was with his sword.
It's with his sword.
Yeah.
It's a good question, but it could also be that was times of war. Which we could argue for Yael might have also been. Or Yael, he's asleep on the mattress on the floor. I could use the sword. I could use the tent peg. Better, right? It could be, I don't know, we'd have to look into the stories a little bit more. But it could also be, right now he's, you know, he's asleep on the floor. He's harmless, right? Not going to discussion, right? You know, you have terrorists neutralized on the floor. Can you do something or not, right? Beforehand, etc. Right, he's asleep right now. So there's no current sakana where I grab the sword and I cut off his head. So I'll go for the, I'll say, okay, right now I could, I have the option to go with the 10 peg. That's the first thought I'd have, but we'd have to look into
but
the
in
story
a
little bit
in
more.
In a fancy Greek mansion, where exactly are you going to find a 10 peg?
It wasn't a fancy Greek
mansion. In the Mahzan, with the with your hiking equipment.
Yeah.
I may have been wrong then. That was definitely.
Okay. So now let's see what the Gemara in Nazir tells us in the Zayinim and Aleph. V'tanakami, high, low, yilvash, gever. Right, lo yilvash gever, my darish bay. What do we learn from this? Maybe we could say from the braisa that a woman shouldn't wear the clay gever. My talmud lamar. What do we learn from this? Im shalo yilvash ish simlat isha v'isha simlas ish. That a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing and a woman shouldn't wear men's clothing. Harik far nemar toive. We already said that this is an abomination. V'ein kan toive. What's the abomination of, you know, you put on your sister's skirt? Is that like an abomination? That's like a horrible thing. I don't know. Okay, so the Gemara then says, "Ela shelo yovash ish simat isha v'yeshev ben anashim." The problem is not specifically that you're going to be wearing the woman's clothing, but you're going to put on the woman's clothing so you could go sit. Right, the women are playing mahjong or Monopoly, whatever, and so you're going to dress up, you're going to sit with them, you're going to schmooze with them, you're going to have tea and biscuits and whatever the women do. You're going to join their nachabura, whatever's going on, and it's not going to be so tzanua. The isha simlas ish, and the woman's going to wear the men's clothing. Why? V'teshev ben anashim. She's going to sit with the men, right? You're dressing up to go sit with the other chevra, right? You walk into the woman's tehillim chabura Shabbos afternoon, they're going to be like, Joe, what are you doing here?
Exactly.
This is a woman's tehillim chabura. You walk in with your mother's sheitel and, you know, a skirt, maybe some lipstick, right? You sit in the back with your tanach there. Everyone's going to think you're one of the chevra. Josephine, great, gavadik. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Minayin shelo teitzei isha b'kli zayin l'milchama. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov wants to tell us, well, where do we learn then that a woman shouldn't wear, she can't go out to war with weapons? Talmud lomar lo yekli gever ala isha, v'lo yubash gever simlas isha, shelo yitakein ish b'tikun isha. Right? We learn that he learns something from there. This also includes, as was pointed out by the other Targumim, that, practically speaking, it also comes to include, you know, forms of warfare, right? Armor, swords, helmets, etc. Okay, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos takes this even further, categorizing it a bit more. The 39th and the 40th mitzvos are discussing this, right? That the Chazal, specifically with the Torah, was being mazir, was warning us, Gam, Mem Sheikh Achar Chukas V'akofrim, Achar Chukot V'akofrim, Shetiyeh Anashim Lovsho Begdei Anashim, V'etitkashena B'tachshitim, V'o Yomar Yitaleh Lo Yekli Gevralis, right? You're going to start wearing men's the jewelry and the clothing of one another. That's, you know, not appropriate. So one second. Hold on. Let's finish the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvahs, then we'll get to it. The kol isha shetitkashet ve'echad mitachshit ha'anashim hamufursamim be'ir, right? Or the woman's wearing a commonly worn men's clothing. Nobody says hamufursamim ba'ir, right? Obviously, it's going to change, right? Place X, right? All men wear earrings. Place Y, a man wears an earring. They think you're crazy, right? Okay. Shezeu tachshit miyuchad lanashim, right? That's a specifically male thing. Lokia. What's the punishment for it? You're going to get malkos. You're going to get beaten with a. You're going to get lashes. Vedash shezot ha'pu'ula kolom ayot nashim mitkashot b'tachshit anashim or anashim tachshit nashim. Right? You're going to wear the other one's jewelry. Pamim tiaseh le'orer ha'teva lezima. Right? There's some part of when you wear, like a man wearing woman's clothing or a woman wearing men's clothing, that it kind of creates this taiva, this inappropriate feeling in them, right? It leads to this licentiousness, right? There's a certain aspect of you're walking around and, you know, you're walking around in a woman's swimsuit, you know, there's like a weird feeling that's going on there. I don't know. Don't try it at home, but I assume, like, you don't feel like your normal self when you're walking around in a swimsuit.
Okay? Like there's a big difference between the two, though, because a man wearing a woman's clothing will almost never have like a practical application to it.
Why?
What?
You want to wear a skirt because, you know, it's warm outside and, you know, there's a nice breeze. I don't know. You want to wear a crop top because it's warm outside.
Maybe women just want pockets for a change.
Yeah, inachiname. You want a pocket, that's good. Right? Whatever reason it is, so the Rambam here in Sefer HaMitzvot pointed out that it could lead to inappropriate thoughts. So we've seen maybe it'll lead to intermingling of the sexes. Maybe it'll lead to, right? The Torah tells us explicitly that it's an abomination.
But I would say that.
Okay, different reasons that we're going through, yeah?
A woman doing this is for more of a practical,
Oh, in our case regarding the handguns.
Yeah. Well, we said it's.
She's not wearing a handgun because she wants to get into the men's locker room. She doesn't. Right? She wants to protect herself because there's dangerous neighbors.
I'd even make a separation between swords and guns because swords, armor, a lot of that was used to be decorative. Guns aren't really used To be decorative, I don't think.
So we're not going to get that. I mean, many guns are decorative. You can see clear guns that are clearly made to be decorative. There's just like swords. There were decorative swords, and there were war swords. Most generals and officers had their, you know, parade swords, and they had their war swords, right? What did they wear when they're wearing their dress? Just like you have dress uniforms, and you have battle uniforms, okay? As an aside, it should be noted, when the whole sugya comes up of can I carry a gun on Shabbos or not, Rav Gorem wanted to be matir, wearing guns on Shabbos, carrying a gun on Shabbos. Why? Almost all posts can disagree with Rav Gorem, the first chief rabbi of the army and former chief rabbi of the state of Israel. He argued that a gun was a tachshit, it was a form of jewelry, right? A soldier, it's part of his uniform.
Yeah.
A gun is part of his uniform, okay? Which goes, if you were to accept that, that fits really well into our whole sugya here. Or Shlomo Zalman, a little bit differently, said carrying a gun, right? We could argue in the world of Muksa, the main purpose of a gun is what? To shoot the gun. Shooting a gun is clearly an Isser D'oraita, right? You would cause ignition of gunpowder, which is going to clearly be Mavir Eish, right? That's Kulei Alma going to be D'oraita. Rav Shlomo Zalman argued and said that's not true. The main purpose of a gun is not to shoot it. What's the main purpose of a gun?
To kill the other guy.
Not to give the illusion, to intimidate.
Exactly. A gun is a deterrent. The guy sees someone walking next door with a gun, he's not going to... I'll wait 5 minutes to the terrorist attack.
The stats are not like 9 out of 100 cases.
So, because of that, Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that a gun is actually a klisha machto leheter, and not a klisha machto leisar. In the world of Shabbos, this is just an aside, good to know. The main reason for that is because Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the main purpose of a gun is lehatra'ah. It's a deterrent. The whole purpose of a gun is to show... The enemy's not going to... Oh... I know in this shul, there's chevra with guns. Maybe this isn't where we want to have our terrorist attack. Right? It's not that your main purpose of a gun, right? How often have I shot my gun over the past year versus how often do I carry it and there haven't been any terrorist attack around me necessarily. Right? That's obviously kind of, that's not a statistical basis, one person, but practically that's where Rav Shlomo Zalman's svara comes in. And many posts can really agree with Rav Shlomo Zalman on that.
The original question is on...
Well, it's two separate questions. This is a muksa question.
No. But going back when to our yeah. original question, it seemed odd. There, like the question is, can women carry guns? Because wasn't the army established before then?
No, the question came up all in different dvarim.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As in the modern applications of this pasuk and how this relates. Okay, but your ha'ara, if we accept Rav Gorin's Kula in Hilchos Shabbos by saying, oh, it's just a piece of jewelry, that would be a huge chumrah in the world of can women use handguns, because he's literally defining it as jewelry, right? It's part of your uniform.
Male jewelry, okay.
Okay, so that might be an interesting nafkamina of like women's handguns. There's places that, oh, you walk into Walmart in the States and they sell bright, I don't know, I assume they sell bright pink handguns or whatever, right? I'm sure, you know, they're selling women's handguns out in, you know, Hicksville, America. I don't know. But that's a safe assumption that I'm sure Google could probably very clearly answer for us. But you might then get, you know, knock on your door tonight, like, why are you Googling buying firearms? Like,
no,
I don't know.
Women's firearms.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay. So now let's continue in our background. Trying to go through this a little bit quickly, and then we're going to see the main tshuvas about it. The Morin Vukhim puts it, we're going to do this outside, brings two main reasons for it. First off, the Morin Vukhim. In Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Zayin, the whole discussion there, when the Morin Vukhim breaks up all the different mitzvos into basically 14 categories that the Tamim fall under, he includes Kli Isha, the Kli Gever, under all of the, with other mitzvos that are Harchakos for Avodah Zarah. He said it was one of the things, it was a form, what was going on, and the non-Jews, one thing they would do as a form of their Avodah Zarah was they would cross-dress, right? That's how you want to, you know, you wanted to go over instead of, you know, bringing your ketores and doing shechita and having korbanos. So you would put on your wife's jewelry and, you know, maybe her sheitel and, you know, go bow down in front of your idol. Or that was just lav dafka, was it actually part of the actual avodah zarah? But that was chukas agoyim. That's what non-Jews did. Okay, that's one thing. The Rambam brings another, that's not in the Makor Shi, it was just basically a broader thing here, but didn't have like a one-liner. I didn't want to bring the whole long paragraph. Okay, the other thing the Rambam brings here is not going out, and the other, you know, the other is that it's going to cause. Where was it? Oh, sorry, looking at the wrong source, right? Yeah, this goes back to what we said earlier with Zima, that when you cross-dress, it's gonna cause some sort of internal emotions that's gonna, right, these internal taivos that are gonna come up, that's gonna lead to you to inappropriate sexual thoughts. And that's why that fits in with why the Pasuk uses the word toeva. Other places in Tanakh where we use the word toeva are very often and commonly going to be discussing sexual acts. Okay, so the Ramas, so far we have a few different reasons the Rama brings too. One is it's going to lead to inappropriate thoughts and licentiousness. The other one is that it fits into Chukas HaGoyim and Avodah Zarah. Okay, the Rambam then brings this paskins the Halacha LaMaisa as the Shulchan Aruch, basically saying that practically speaking, wearing a woman's clothing, men's clothing, that falls under this problem of Beged Isha and Beged Ish, and wearing, you know, armor, helmets, swords, chainmail, things like that also fall under this category. Okay, the Rama points out even more so. Afilu be'echad mina begadim aser afal bishini karim b'shar b'dam shu isho isha. I might have thought, depending on the different reasons that we said, that if the whole svara is that you're going to sneak into the men's locker room, right, you're going to hang out with the girls at their Tehillim club or their Motzei Shabbos yoga, whatever, I don't know, whatever's going on in the women's section, right? You're going to dance with a woman on Simchas Torah. True story. My wife had a friend in seminary, dressed up as a chassid on Purim, went to Me'ez Sharm on Purim. She got dragged into dancing. She curled her hair, was payas, wore a shtreimel and a bekasha. Got dragged into because she was dressed up as a chassid, was brought into dancing in the middle of Purim in Me'ez Sharm with another chassidim. She had a lot of internal conflict of, do I like leave and like tell them, hi guys, I'm a girl? Or like dance, like do like one or two circles and like casually leave and like don't tell anyone? Interesting question. Practically speaking, right, when you're wearing the whole bekasha and you're wearing the stripe, Purim's an interesting discussion in the postgame. Not getting to it now. Oh. Some postgame say Purim.
Aren't you like not supposed?
Most postgame is my name, really say it's frowned upon. I know many.
You sat on Simchat
Torah. On Purim. Oh, okay. So she was dressed up as in a bekasha, curled her hair as payas, and she got dragged into dancing. Okay. So based on that, so she's wearing a bekasha, so it wasn't so nicker, right? It covered her knees, right? She was all tzanua. She wore her regular stockings. They had no idea. Okay. But so maybe it's a question of what is it noticeable or not. So when you're wearing the whole garb, no one will know. All I'm doing is I'm wearing an army helmet, but I'm wearing my regular clothing. If I say that that has a din of beget ish, that's klei gever, so it's the aser. If it's a problem of, you know,
yeah,
you might
say if I see a woman wearing a gun, I wouldn't say, oh, that person has
right.
a gun. It must be male.
Okay. So basically what's happening is the nafkamina between the different tamim is it that you're going to look completely like the other gender and we won't be able to notice A versus B? Or is it, no, the fact that you're wearing a skirt is inherently problematic. So, and that would be the nafkamina. If I wear a skirt, just if I walk in like this and I wear a skirt on top of my pants, no one's going to be like, oh, you're a girl. I mean, maybe they will. I don't know. But I assume that's not the general assumption.
The beard is.
Yeah,
a true gentleman immediately looks for the holster.
Is there anything?
So one second. Just finishing off with the Rama. The Rama paskins lachumra on this nafkamina. Even if you wear only one article of the other gender's clothing, and everyone knows you're still your original gender, that is still going to be an iser of lo yelbash. Yeah.
So we live in a time of like advanced androgyny, right? Like it's a huge, huge thing, especially in America, like in Tel Aviv a little more. But like, are there different tshuvot coming out now? Because today, in 2021,
we discussed that a little bit at the beginning. Yeah. That the Rambam Hakol Tov Lifnei Makom V'Hazman. So you do have tshuvos today that maybe, you know, women's pants are inherently women's pants. We mentioned, you know, a wedding ring for a man is that inherently.
Well,
you could say it's a ring.
I don't even mean like that. I mean like
cross dressing.
Yeah.
No, cross dressing is mamish pshat in the iser.
No,
you can't. If you're if you have a, I don't know. I don't want to say this on recording. Being matir cross dressing is literally erasing a pasuk midioraita. So you got to give me a
sure.
svara. Okay, these are women's pants. These are men's pants. There's an inherent difference when you walk into the store.
Right.
They're selling pants at I don't know, Shimon's women's clothing store, or maybe Sarah's women's clothing store. Right? Those are being sold 100% for women.
Sure.
Okay. So I can understand why that's not called beget isha. Ish, because it's sold for women, it's cut shaped differently for women. Masha'in Kane, cross dressing, which is literally men wearing women's clothing for whatever reason, that is the ikar pasuk. So I I don't want to get into that discussion now of cross-dressing. One of the things on the list of tshuva, hopefully we're going to get to, I started working on today for in a few weeks, cross-dressing is the ikar pasuk. You'd have a hard time being matzia that. You have to be, I don't know. Ask your local open Orthodox rabbi. I don't know. Okay? This is that we're going to, one more makra that we're going to try and see the tshuvos. Let's hold on the questions right now, just we're short on time and I want to go through the tshuvos. We'll take all the questions after Besimcha Rabbah. The Taz brings a massive, massive chiddush. Also, the Bach brings it, the Shach quotes and his father-in-law, the Bach's name. That is Mashma Derech Idui V'Kishut Aser. The Isser is only going to apply when I'm wearing the clothing in order to wear it as an adornment. I want to walk out in my wife's gorgeous sheitel because I think it makes me look good. That you're right, you're wearing it as an adornment, as jewelry. You're wearing it because you want to look fancy. I like how I look wearing high heels. Gevaldik. That's Pashar Isser. Aser. Okay, Aval. This is a Taz's Lashon. You can see it in the Bach. It's quoted in the Shach also. Im Osa Kein Mifnei HaChama O Atzina O HaGishamim Ein Isser Kein Nira Li Pashat. What's the reason why you're wearing the men's or women's clothing? It's really hot outside. It's really cold outside. It's pouring rain. Right? You go over to visit your friend, right? Joe goes over to Ariel. That's close enough. I'll take it. Joe goes over to Ariel's house. All of a sudden, you guys are playing out. You're hanging. You're having a chavrusa. You guys are learning shtark together, having a wonderful chavrusa in the afternoon. All of a sudden, you're about to walk home. Thunderstorm. Boom. Pouring rain. Ariel, can I borrow a coat? Honestly, I left my coat in the base medrash. Oh, here's my sister's coat. He has a sister. Boom. Perfect. Shidduch min hashamayim. Your height exactly. Amazing. Can you wear her bright pink rainbow unicorn covered raincoat? Or is that an Isser D'oraisa of Lo Yilbash?
Then I have to walk in the rain.
The Taz says, based on the Bach, that's not part of Lo Yilbash. Why? You're not wearing it because you enjoy wearing bright pink raincoats. You're wearing it because you don't want to get wet. It's purely protecting you from the elements.
Do you enjoy wearing it?
That you're wearing it as an adornment. Okay. You're wearing it for the article of clothing. Whereas the Bach and the Taz is Chiddush is that in a case where you're not wearing it for the actual article of clothing in its own right, you're wearing it because of the external circumstances, right? Such as it's pouring rain or it's scorching hot outside and you want to borrow, her parasol or her hat.
Yeah.
So you're not doing it because of the article of clothing as an article of clothing. You're doing it purely because it's protecting you from the elements. It's raining, right? It's freezing outside, so you want to borrow a sweatshirt. Oh, I don't have any sweatshirts. Borrow my sister's fleece. Take my mom's jacket. That has nothing to do with Lo Yilbash. It's purely because it's really cold or it's raining or vice versa. You need a hat or an umbrella because it's super hot outside. That chiddush of the Taz and the Bach is going to be... Rav Moshe uses that as a big part of his discussion in being matir woman to carry handguns in general for self-defense. Let's see Rav Moshe's tshuva, and then we'll try and see Rav Avadia's. They're both a little long. We don't have really time for it. Are guys makbid on ending exactly at 7, or are you guys, dinner's an hour long, you'd rather spend a few more minutes going through the tshuvas inside? What's better for the guys?
I need to set up dinner, so I'm going to have to leave 10 minutes before 7.
Okay. Rest of the chaver, you'd rather go faster or go through them inside?
Probably a little faster.
Okay, Joe's hungry. It's okay. Yeah, it's hard. They always say the worst time to sleep. It is a classic. No, it's not. It's not a guitar. It's probably like a cloud guddle in the world of speaking. The worst slot is the slot before food, especially if the food's like they're setting up the buffet in the back of the room so everyone smells it. That's the worst.
I would say the worst slot's the first one of the day.
No, because everyone's into it.
That's why we started having Hagdamashir in here, because they would already be setting up while we're trying to
finish. Yeah, here. Not partial. Okay, so let's see the Igros Moshe. So the Igros Moshe, right, we discussed this question before, right? Woman carrying guns in the Gush, as we asked about Rav Shabtai Rapoport, his grandson. Maybe they would need to find other rides, etc. Okay, So the difference far as the Moshe brings to be matter. One, because the Taz here, Mizeshakot of a Taz, right? Because the Taz, right? Derech Noi V'Kishurot. It's only us if you're doing it for the adornment, for the jewelry, for the fact that it looks good on you. But if you're going to say it's because of the rain, the weather, etc., that wouldn't be a problem. So then Rav Moshe says, Uklei Neshek, in Ukla Derech Kishurot, right? This doesn't work with Rav Goren's far, as we mentioned before. Rav Moshe says, no one walks around, you don't wear your gun because, oh, look how cool I am, I got a gun. No, it's self-defense. Interesting, maybe you know, a soldier... Soldiers in their first Shabbos, you know, leaving base, their first time leaving base with their gun, are all like, oh, I've got a gun, it's so cool. But after that first, like, wow, I'm holding a gun, this is cool, you realize there's, like, there's real ramifications of walking around with a gun. There's a weight to it. Okay? So as a result, the only reason they're wearing it is to protect themselves, which is no different than a woman's raincoat or umbrella or hat. Right? You're using it for the practical purpose of self-defense and not the purpose of, hey, I got a man's gun. Yeah, I'm cool. Okay? That's the first svara that Ramosha pointed out. Second one, okay, maybe that svara works, but the pasuk specifically is kli geber, which Chazal and most Mefarshim said refers specifically to armaments, okay, to weapons. So that might work for raincoats, for hats, for umbrellas, for things like that, for boots. But that doesn't actually work for an actual kli zayin, for an actual gun, because that's why it specifically said kli. Chazal told us it's specifically on weapons. So the svara can't apply. The chiddush of the Taz and the Bach doesn't work when it comes to guns. That's one argument that you could make, right? Because even though the gun's for self-defense...
Does it say Begad Ish?
No, it says Kli Geber.
Nowhere does it say Begad Ish?
No. That's a term that we use, like, that's kind of a colloquial term. But the pasuk specifically says Kli Geber, which Chazal then darshan, that's specifically why it say Kli, because of Kli Milchama, Kli Zayin. So Rav Moshe then says, okay, maybe there's an inherent difference. Okay, why? Because when people go to war, no one walks like you're going into battle. What gun do you take with you? You take your M4, you take your Negev, you take your heavy machine guns, your semi-automatic guns. No one walks into Gaza ready, you know, there's a war happening. No one walks in with their little 9mm, right? No one walks in with their Colt revolver, like, you know, cowboys that I got six bullets, let's go. Like, that's not, like, Rav Moshe points out, maybe that svara, a woman wants to wear a rifle, that might be an isser, because that's called clay milchama. But a smaller version of a handgun...
Not.
What?
A handgun is not, because...
So Rav Moshe says, generally people don't go into war with handguns. There's different purposes for different types of guns. So maybe big guns, automatic, semi-automatic, machine guns, rifles, those are called clay milchama. Handguns aren't. We could argue on that svara a little bit, which is special force units often will carry handguns. Often, many people will carry a handgun as well as a rifle in war. Okay? So it's true that when you talk about clay milchama, often you're thinking rifles, heavy machine guns, things like that. But is it true to say that in war there's never handguns? Maybe in classical war, but special units and you know, a lot of different forms of, you know, of special ops are going to use handguns as well. But that's where Moshe says that also. So first we have maybe it's practical versus adornment. Two, big guns versus small guns. Okay? And obviously Moshe opens up before and says, if there's real pikuach nefesh, obviously it's mutter. Okay? And then he brings that, right? Lo yilbash, right? We said tzitzis, tefillin, okay? That was tikkuna geber. Avgam kin lo shayach lenoi v'kishu. 1 second. Yeah, okay. So maybe we could say that here, that's not the case. Okay, ties it into that whole machloket. And then, just want to try and go through this a little quickly, so I want to just pick out the key pieces here. I did not have a chance to underline. Okay. Basically, Rav Moshe goes through a bunch of different svaras here, why maybe we could differentiate, right? Stam begadim arfer, right? Maybe the definition of a beged is to look good in, okay? People wear clothes that are generally going to be attractive or that they want to look good in, okay? That's part of it. Whereas in, and that's why if you're only wearing it for protective reasons, it's not going to apply, okay? Whereas in, where when it comes to guns, it never, the svara was always inherently different. Okay? We're not going to try, just because of time, we have like 8 minutes left. So Rav Moshe basically, at the end here, Aval ba'etzem adina pashashem mekomas shekarov la'aravim, harotzchim she'en yirein me'amemshala, kima'asim b'kol yom, mutarot nashim lisa, klei zayin lo rak la'atzela me'hariga ma'amesh, elo af linatzel me'haka'ot be'alma shemilchama k'tanot, elo heim nintzayim anashim ka'anashim be'echrech shalachen, lo she'ach chiluk ben gabri l'anashe. Okay? Rav Moshe basically says, on a day-to-day basis, clearly, if you're living in a place where there's dangerous, there's people around you who want to kill you, then of course you could carry a gun. But not only in a case where they're going to kill you, but even if it's a place where, you know, they is a term they use in modern Hebrew. They do a zubu. They come. They make a little. They come and they attack you, right? Little chevra. You got four or five guys. They walk over to you. They start beating you. So in that case, it would still be mutter to carry a gun. It's not a question of sakanas and fashos. People nevish mamish. They're going to kill you. Legamre. Ramosh says, even if it's the fear is only that, you know, they're going to come and they're going to beat you up. They're going to steal your wallet. Things like that. Oh, they see you got a gun. You know, we'll go attack Shifra, not Sarah, right? Maybe we're going to go find someone else. So he says, there's no reason to differentiate the sakana between a man and a woman because of this iser. Even in the smaller things, I would argue also, take this a step, not argue, I would take Rav Moshe a step further. Chazal tell us in the Mesach HaShabbos, we pass in Al-Kalam Isa, in Shulchan Aruch also, that, right, you could be Mechal Shabbos, right, Mechalim Shabbos, you could leave to go defend your property, even if someone is only coming to steal kashu gvava, they're only coming to steal the food from your warehouses. Why? That's not sakanas nefashos. But the Gemara tells us if you don't, there's a whole longer discussion how that relates to modern war ethics, etc. Fascinating discussion in the postgame about how we understand that in modern times. But if I could go defend Mechal Shabbos to prevent someone from stealing my food in my warehouse, the Gemara tells the reason why is because if you don't, right, if you let them go, oh, we can steal the food in their warehouse. We steal all their stuff on Shabbos. Next Shabbos, they'll come and they'll do it again. They'll do it again. Eventually, they're just going to come on Shabbos and they'll kill you. Right? You're basically allowing them to do it, to take advantage of you. So you have to prevent it because otherwise, if you don't nip it in the bud, it's going to turn into a constant, you know, attack and offense against the Jewish people. Okay? That's taking Rav Moshe a step further. He doesn't say that, but I think Pashas, it reads it nicely to what Rav Moshe is saying. Okay? And then we keep saying, right, the Metzias is, right, the practice speaking, the woman... Right, practically speaking, women need the handguns to defend themselves. What, they're, you know, you have a whole group of Arab teenagers coming to beat the living daylights at her, and you have this this nice Jewish woman's gonna have to say, you know, defend herself against, you know, eight teenagers, right? It's not shaykh. She needs to have a way to properly defend herself. Practically speaking, okay, right? Basically speaking, Rav Moshe basically Pashtus says at the end of the day that it is going to be mutter. Okay? Right? And obviously, once we're mature women to carry handguns, Rav Moshe is going to say, of course, the woman can take a course in how to properly use the handgun, right? What could it say? As we mentioned at the beginning, there's no good to say, oh, you can carry a handgun, but you can never, but it's also for you to learn how to use it, right?
Well, that's part of the case of like after that's something that's like
that's a different discussion.
It almost seems like it would push it out of the realm of mutar because if you can't use it properly, then is it?
No, but if the usage is mutar, clearly you need to learn how to use it, right? It's similar to saying like it's like saying kohanim can be doctors, but they're not allowed to go to medical school because of autopsies, right? That's a different discussion, not for now. But as in, you can't allow, right? If the end game is going to be mutter, clearly the middle step, the process along the way, is going to have to be allowed. Otherwise, right? Otherwise, it's useless to give women guns and say, but you're not ever allowed to go to the shooting range, right? You can practice on your PlayStation, but you can't actually learn how, you know, you don't know what the recoil is, you don't know how to aim and know what the counterbalance is, etc., how to factor in wind and things like that. That's clearly not going to be very useful. Okay, we have 5 minutes left.
So you wouldn't be allowed to just go to a shooting range for fun.
Interesting discussion. Really not so much a discussion. That's part of what they're talking about. Difference, depending on how you read some of the different svaras that Rav Moshe gave, there's reasons definitely to be matir. There's reasons to be oser. Definitely there's what to discuss. If we're going to say it's right based on the taz and the shach, and there's no reason why you can't go to the shooting range. If you're going to differentiate between small guns and big guns, so you can go to the shooting range and shoot handguns, but you can't go rifle shooting. Okay, so Rav Avadia has a tshuva nichave dat. I think he has a second tshuva about this also. We're not going to go through the whole tshuva. He brings as Rav Avadia is that part of it. We like to do try and see the different styles. Unfortunately, of different tshuva, but Rav Avadia often likes to quote everyone and everything ever written. So he quotes a ton of sources. To basically, he'll bring one svara, and here's 30 people who said it. Just ran this whole discussion. Not going to go through the whole tshuva right now, but Lamaisa Rav Avadia writes here at the Sikkum at the end of the day. Right? Obviously, it's we're going to allow women teachers and caretakers to carry guns to protect the school, to protect the students.
Right,
right? But when you go to the shooting range, you have to do it sneezily, right? It can't be the minute you say, oh, we're going to the shooting range, then all of a sudden she puts on her tight pants and she puts on, you know, a bandana, lets her hair down, right? Obviously, right, just because we're being macho, using a handgun, so we're not going to now allow you to come and do whatever you want. You still have to, there's still halachos of tznias involved, okay? Karu'i l'bnot Yisrael, akshera, he says, right, we're allowing them to use handguns, but they still have to, right, they're still b'nos Yisrael, the other halachos still obviously apply. Right, you can't say, okay, well now you have a handgun, it's mutter, you have to go take a training course. So what are you going to do? You're going to go take a training course with Rafael guns or whatever, whomever, you know. You're going to go and you're going to have a one-on-one training session with the guy training, right? An Isra Yichud, etc. Right? Obviously, it falls under the other tznias. You want to organize, right, the whole group of teachers. We're going to take you as the you know, Beis Yisrael of Beitar Elite. It's going to go to take a training course by someone. That's one thing. But if you're going to go as a Mora Rivka and take a training course with Yerucham over there in his garage, that's not going to be Sutsanua. Because Ravadi says you have to be very careful about that. I'll be then more Rabbeinu Torah v'Shulchan Aruch. Okay, v'tiyah yirat Hashem b'fneim v'ashud v'Hashem yishmor teitam b'v'an la'adolcham. 1 second, hold the question 1 second. And one last thing, Rav Dov Lior practically also discusses a similar discussion. Rav Dov Lior in Ashayas and Shuvah, he was the former chief rabbi of Kiryat Arba Chevron. Now he's retired, author of Dvar Chevron, a lot of very fascinating tshuvos and discussions. He writes, right, he was asked the question if it's mutter for a woman who's not married to learn how to use a gun in order that if she ever needs, she'll be able to protect herself, right? You're living in the middle of Chevron, you're living in Kiryat Arba, not always the safest place. So you have girls who want to learn how to carry a gun. That's the question she asked, right? I mean, I tramp to school, things like that, so I want to be able to protect myself. Can she take a gun and learn how to self-defense? So Rav Lior says, I don't understand, like, there's no difference whether you're married or single, like, that's an irrelevant factor here, right? The sugya, there are halachos tznias questions that matter between men and women, right, that matter between married and unmarried, right? Unmarried women, we pass them, don't have to cover their hair, okay? Married women have to cover their hair, right? So there are differences between married and unmarried women, okay? But practically speaking, he says, the issur of lo yilbash, can you use a gun or not? I don't care that you're single, I don't care that you're married, but practically speaking, he basically says, if there's a tzorech for self-defense, you can carry a gun, and you can then go learn how to use it. So basically, at the end of the day, just to sum up what we saw, Pasuk Israel writes a lo yilbash, different time and why that is. Maybe it's a separation of the sexes, maybe someone's going to try and, you know, get some inside access, see things that are inappropriate, maybe it'll lead to inappropriate thoughts, maybe it was all about, you know, chukas hagoyim and inyani avodah zarah, okay? And then we saw different discussions, probably speaking, Isra is going to go both ways. Men, women, kli gever, different armaments, swords, things like that. Shulchan Aruch, right? And Rambam, Paskin, is halacha l'maisa, the Ramah, Nafkamina. Oh, what if it's only one baguette? So it's clearly nikra that you're a man. Okay, but it could still lead you to inappropriate thoughts. It could still, maybe the actual cheftza itself, the baguette is usher for you to wear. The Ramah, Paskin, is halacha l'maisa, even though it's nikra that you are your original gender, no one's going to think you're cross-dressing. Okay, that you're drag racing or whatever you're dressing up as the other gender. So practically speaking, the Ramah says it doesn't matter. One beged in its own right is going to be aser. Taz bach have a massive chiddush. That was only in a case where you're doing it in order to look good, in order to look the other gender. But in a case where you're doing it in order to protect yourself from the elements, you're doing it for external reasons. That will be mutter, such as a raincoat or boots or a sweatshirt or an umbrella, hat, whatever. L'maisa, at the end of the day, Rav Moshe, Rav Avadi, and Rav Dov Lior all paskin that it's going to be mutter, each with their own svaras and circumstances behind it. Bezrat Hashem, we should all, you know, this should be halacha lishma. This shouldn't be halacha l'maisa. Bezrat Hashem, we should be Moshe Mashiach, and there should only be shalom in the entire world. We shouldn't have to deal with these sugyas halacha l'maisa, but it's an interesting discussion. It definitely, I think, is one, and happy to discuss any questions, and those who want to go to dinner, enjoy.